This is David Duke. Today, and this is 2006, July 6th, I want to share with you something I wrote back in 2001, just about a month after the attack of 9/11. I talked about the fact that the administration wanted to take 9/11 and use it for an excuse to raise a wider war. And I talked about the devastating impact to the United States of America. And I think it's very interesting to take this and hear it now, 5 years later, and let you listen to what I said at that time. I'm going to go ahead and give you the report as I wrote it. It's called America on the Brink. It appeared in the David Duke Report. It starts off with a quotation of George Washington. He said, "Against the insidious wiles of foreign influence, I conjure you to believe me, fellow citizens. History and experience prove that foreign influence is one of the most baneful foes of Republican government." I quote from Senator William Fulbright, "Israel controls the U.S. Senate." And I quote from Ariel Sharon, October 3, 2001, when he said, "Every time we do something, you tell me America will do this and do that. I'm going to tell you something very clear. Don't worry about American pressure in Israel. We, the Jewish people, control America, and the Americans know it." This issue of the Duke Report is probably the most important one I've ever written. You who read these words are among the too few that fully understand the realities of Zionist power in America. It is crucial that you act immediately to share the information in this report to everyone you know. At this time, my job is a difficult and thankless endeavor. Now more than ever, I need your support so I can reach the American people with the truth they must hear before it's too late. Many people wait to act until things really get bad. If you're someone who has put off getting more active in our cause, now is the time. Never in all of American history has our freedom, security, and prosperity been more threatened. Every true American patriot must act now to protect the rights and the heritage of our people. America is on the brink of a global war that may well lead us to utter ruin. Cheered on by the Jewish media and the Jewish lobby, the White House has already launched a series of devastating attacks on Afghanistan. The ultra-powerful Jewish lobby now screams for a much wider war, a global war to supposedly protect us from terrorism. If the war is widened, it will not save us from terrorism. It will make certain that we suffer from it. It would radicalize and motivate millions of people around the world to support terrorism against America. Only Israel would benefit from this war, and the Zionist warmongers and media and government seek to use America's guns and money to strike devastating blows at Israel's enemies. They also know that the ensuing war fever will shift attention away from Israel's brutal terrorism and suppression against the Palestinian people. Here are a few things that a wider war would accomplish. Every American attack on foreign nations will greatly increase hatred against America and spawn more terrorists who want to strike back at us. It will focus Arab anger away from Israel and toward America. Terrorism against America will accelerate as we become the primary target around the world. As shown by the aftereffects of September 11, such terrorist acts will have a devastating effect on the American economy. Going to war for Israel's benefit will cost both American military and civilian lives, and every American taxpayer will end up paying the multi-billion-dollar price tag. With unemployment skyrocketing, business suffering, and our economy going into recession, instead of government giving tax breaks to ailing business and consumers, it plans on a spending spree. American constitutional freedoms are under the greatest assault in American history. Top government officials seek to eradicate many constitutional rights. In conjunction with the loss of our freedoms, the government authorized the largest and most powerful government secret police force in the history of the world. The section under which the big lie is titled. Even before the blood had dried from the terror attacks on New York and Washington, the mass media and the Zionist lobby began to manipulate American public opinion for the Jewish agenda. Interspersed with media coverage of terrible carnage of September 11, every TV network repeatedly ran film of protesters celebrating in Palestine over and over throughout the traumatic day. Americans in the world saw horrendous death and destruction constantly juxtaposed to Palestinian celebration. So on the one hand, the media depicted Palestinians as celebrating and told us that Osama bin Laden was the prime suspect, and then on the other hand told us that the attack had nothing to do with America's Israel First policy. They didn't want the American people to know that our support for Israel directly led to this terrible carnage. The media repeatedly told us that the perpetrators were crazy cowards who were attacking us because they hated America's freedom and democracy. George Bush later set that big lie in stone by repeating the media's big lie when he addressed Congress a week after the tragedy. Quote, Americans are asking, why do they hate us? They hate us because of what they see here in this chamber, a democratically elected government. Their leaders are self-appointed. They hate our freedoms. The media didn't bother to tell the American people that the attack occurred on the anniversary of the League of Nations proclamation of the British Mandate, which was made public in Palestine on September 11, 1922. The British Mandate was the first major step toward implementation of the Balfour Declaration, a Jewish state in what is now Israel. September 11 is a day of infamy for the Palestinians, and the people who perpetrated 9/11 sought the same for America. The media bosses had to know the significance of that date, but no major news source even mentioned it. The date can be found in many historical dating indexes, including important dates in history. At the same time the media blamed bin Laden for being the mastermind behind the attack, they purposefully hid his real motivation. Every media outlet in the world has complete access to his past interviews. He's never said a word against democracy or freedom. In 1998, ABC News interviewed Laden and asked him about the previous attack on the World Trade Center. He praised the attackers and gave the reasons why he opposes America. Here are some excerpts from the broadcast by ABC 3 years ago. Quote, I say to them that they, Americans, have put themselves at the mercy of a disloyal government, and this is the most evident in the Clinton administration. We believe that it represents Israel inside America. Take the sensitive ministries such as Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense and the CIA. You'll find that the Jews have the upper hand in them. They make use of America to further their plans for the world. For over half a century, Muslims in Palestine have been, by the Jews, slaughtered and assaulted and robbed of their honor and their property. Their houses have been blasted, their crops destroyed. Unquote. The media knew why America was attacked from day one. They knew all along it was because of our Israel First foreign policy. They knew that the attackers viewed America as under control of Zionists and that it has been used to support Israel and to attack Israel's enemies. Saying the September 11 suicide bombers attacked America because they hate democracy is as ridiculous as saying a wolf eats a rabbit because it hops. The truth is, wolves don't eat rabbits because they hop, but because they're food. Arab terrorists struck America not because it's democracy, but because it supports Israel. It supports the Israeli agenda in the Middle East, which is counter to the ideas and issues of the Muslim world. You won't read anything about any plane bombs crashing into Switzerland or Iceland. That's two long-enduring, centuries-old democracies. The big lie about attacking democracy is to cover up the obvious truth that the terrorist acts happened in retaliation for America's unconditional support for the terrorist state of Israel and its leader, who is one of the world's most bloodstained terrorists, Ariel Sharon. Of course, Sharon was the leader at that time. The Jewish media felt compelled to lie and divert people with a bogus reason for the terrorist acts. If Americans clearly understood that the fact that Israel's control of our foreign policy was the primary cause of this tragedy, people might begin to ask some obvious questions, such as, is America's support for Israel really worth it? Is it worth the lives of thousands of American victims on 9/11? Is it worth $1 trillion damage to our economy? Is it worth the $200 billion of American taxpayers' money sent to Israel since its inception? Is it worth the additional trillions of dollars we have spent for higher petroleum costs, the Arab oil weapon response to our pro-Israeli policies? Is it worth the loss of our constitutional rights and freedoms? Is it worth alienating 99% of the people of the Middle East for 1%? Is it worth it to support a nation created by terrorism and ethnic cleansing and whose leader is a longtime terrorist who's responsible for the death of 2,000 men, women, and children in Lebanon? Is it worth it to support a nation that has committed terrorist acts of murder and destruction against the United States of America, such as the Levant affair and the attack on the U.S. American Navy ship, the USS Liberty? Is it worth it to support a nation who spies on us, such as the Jonathan Pollard case? Is it worth it to support a nation who steals from us, such as the theft of enriched uranium for Israel's illegal atomic bombs? Is it worth it to support a nation that sells our most secret defense technology to America's most dangerous enemy, the Red Chinese? Is it worth it to allow a foreign nation to have the strongest lobby in our own American government? Is it worth it for Israeli agents to bribe American candidates with vast sums of campaign money so they'll put the interests of Israel over America? The fact that the media could so unanimously cover up the real reason for the attack of September 11 is clear proof of the Jewish power over it. And now this Jewish extremist-controlled media is beating the drums for a massive war. This is the same Jewish media that for years has constantly criticized and ridiculed American patriotism. Right up until September 11, the media daily characterized George Bush as the village idiot who stumbled into the presidency. Now that Bush may embrace Israel's holy war against the Palestinians and their allies, he's suddenly become a great leader who will lead us and give us wonderful victory in the glorious war ahead. The same leftist Jewish bosses and media personnel who have subverted every true American patriotic interest to Israel's agenda over the last 50 years have now put an American flag everywhere in sight and solemnly tell us that George Bush's campaign to rid the world of evil is not in the least bit too ambitious. Was Israel behind the terror of September 11? Let us first examine Israel's long history of covert terrorism against America. The record's pretty clear and very damning. In 1956, Israel plotted to blow up American installations in Egypt and then blame the carnage on the Egyptians. It was a treacherous attempt to get America to go to war against Israel's enemy. Only by the slightest luck was the plot exposed. The Israeli defense minister, Levon, had to resign over the affair. Then in 1967, during another war with their Arab neighbors, Israel mercilessly attacked a clearly marked flag-flying U.S. Navy intelligence ship, the USS Liberty. Israel used unmarked fighters and first attacked the radio antennas, attempting to prevent America from learning it was an Israeli attack. Then they bombed and strafed the ship. Finally, they used unmarked boats to torpedo the USS Liberty and try to sink her. They even machine gunned the Liberty's deployed yellow life rafts to make certain there were no survivors. But through incredible ingenuity and heroism, the Liberty's crew members were able to get a distress call to the American fleet, identify the attackers as Israelis, and remarkably keep the ship afloat. The Israelis who had monitored the Liberty's distress calls knew that the American fleet was now aware that it was an Israeli attack. Their master plan of sinking the ship, killing all the Americans, and blaming it on Egypt had failed, and they finally withdrew. The American ship was, as one crewman described it, quote, a scene out of hell, unquote, as 34 Americans lay dead and 174 were wounded on the USS Liberty. Of course, Israel claimed the attack was a mistake, but after investigation, both our former Secretary of State and head of the U.S. Navy at the time, and both said the attack was clearly deliberate. In further demonstration of Jewish media and government power, stories about the attack died quickly in America's Jewish press, and the Jewish lobby was able to prevent a full-scale congressional investigation. In 1986, in another very clever and treacherous action against America, Israeli commandos planted a radio transmitter in Libya and broadcast false information in Libyan code that indicated Libyan guilt for a terrorist bombing against Americans in Germany. Because of this Jewish lie, America bombed Libya and even killed the young daughter of the Libyan president. Deceiving another nation into going into war has to be considered a new height of treachery. Israel's action was not against an enemy, but against the nation who has been Israel's greatest benefactor, the United States of America. Up until September 11, 2001, the new century has been a bad one for Israel. The election of terrorist and mass murderer Ariel Sharon to prime minister hurt Israel's image in much of the world. The ongoing shootings of demonstrating Palestinian teenagers finally began to touch the world's conscience. World opinion was shifting more and more in favor of the Palestinians. Just 2 weeks before the September 11 tragedy, the new United Nations World Conference Against Racism labeled Israel a racist apartheid state. Additionally, suicide bombers in Israel were making more and more Israelis question Ariel Sharon's hard line. How could master terrorist Sharon pull Israel's chestnuts from the fire? In this atmosphere of Israeli desperation, consider the role of the Mossad, one of the most powerful spy and terrorist organizations on earth. This ruthless organization has specialized in thousands of targeted assassinations all over the world. Most experts say it is now second only to the CIA as a world spy organization. In the Middle East, it does not even have a remote competitor. The Mossad prides itself in infiltrating almost every Palestinian and Arab militant organization in the world. For years, the Mossad has considered bin Laden as their most dangerous enemy. There is little doubt that Mossad agents have penetrated key positions in bin Laden's organization, a worldwide scattered group with people all over the Arab and the European world. Now consider the large number of men involved in the World Trade Center attack. Could the Mossad have had no informants or agents in such a large multinational Arab terrorist group? Reason should tell us that even if Israeli agents were not the actual provocateurs behind the operation, at the very least, they had prior knowledge. Sharon did not warn American authorities and save those lives because he knew such a horrible event would reverse all of Israel's recent losses. It would be a 21st century Pearl Harbor galvanizing the American people for war, their war. Of course, not warning America about the impending attacks would make him a treacherous accomplice in the terror. But please tell me when Israel or Ariel Sharon has shrunk from treachery. Zionists have never worried about the loss of innocent life to achieve their ends. The Israeli state was founded on terror, such as occurred at Deir Yassin, where Menachem Begin's thugs brutally murdered over 200 men, women, and children, and then publicized the atrocity to terrorize the Palestinians into fleeing from their homes and their lands. There's increasing evidence that Israel knew about the September 11 attacks beforehand. There have been reports that Ariel Sharon postponed their visit to New York the day of the tragedy. It was reported in the mainstream press that the FBI interviewed an Israeli firm that was warned of the attack 2 hours before it occurred. Massive trading occurred in the Chicago mercantile commodity markets prior to the tragedy, betting that airline stocks and insurance companies would crash downward. Hundreds of millions of dollars were gained by those traders. The Chicago commodities exchanges are so thoroughly Jewish that the traders often speak in Yiddish. One fact is irrefutable. Zionists caused the attack. By the way, this broadcast was done very early, and right after the September 11, and of course since that time a lot of additional evidence has come out. Five Israeli agents were caught on top of a building filming and celebrating the attack during 9/11. The Israeli firm, it was confirmed, received warning email messages warning the attacks hours before it occurred. Five Israeli agents lived in the same street as Mohammed Atta, the hijacked leader, which came out in a released DEA report. So the evidence is overwhelming that, yes, Israel knew intimately about the affairs and the upcoming attack of 9/11. And I think my prediction at this time turned out to be quite accurate. I go on. One fact is irrefutable. Zionists caused the attack America endured just as surely as if they themselves had piloted those planes. It was caused by the Jewish control of the American media and Congress, which has supported over 50 years of Israeli terrorism and treachery against the Palestinians and the other peoples in the Mideast. Their control over our country can be illustrated by the fact that the American government continued to support Israel with guns and money, even after it committed direct acts of terrorism against us, such as in the Levant affair, the assault on the Liberty, and treacherous deceptions that promoted America into acts of war. The real truth is that Zionists do not simply seek Jewish supremacism over the hapless Palestinians. They seek supremacism over us. Jewish supremacists already control the Hollywood movie and television industry, music, and much of the news media. They already are the most powerful force in the U.S. Congress. They have been the major force behind changing American immigration laws that will make European Americans into a minority in our own nation, just as the Palestinians became a minority in their own land. They are the insidious media influence that has pushed white guilt and racial miscegenation, while at the same time have supported the racist, apartheid state of Israel. They have been the primary force behind the cultural and moral disintegration of the American Republic. Zionists have also been the instigators of the globalism that's sweeping away American freedoms. They are the architects of so-called hate laws that are the first steps to curtailing freedom of speech. And now, in the wake of the global war, they are orchestrating the most massive infringement of rights and freedom in American history. Jewish supremacism over our government and media has caused American support of the terrorist state of Israel and the ensuing terrorist response against the American people. And now the Jewish supremacists are screaming for a wider war, a global war that will not protect us from terrorism, but make us so certain to endure it and our boys to experience it directly by the thousands. This war could well destroy American prosperity and our most sacred fundamental freedoms. I urge every reader of the Duke Report and every member of the European American Unity and Rights Organization, Euro, to support our boys, but oppose this war. I urge you to be patriotic for America and against this Jewish war, for this Jewish war will harm incalculably the interest of the people of the United States. I urge you, who have for so long believed but stood in the sidelines, to get active for our people, for our freedoms, for our future. I urge you to share the truth with your fellow family members, friends, and co-workers. Better to make heroic efforts today than to endure brutal oppression tomorrow. I also urge you to financially support our efforts to educate the American people, and I must tell you that our mailboxes and websites have been flooded with inquiries of Americans who on their own have guessed at the truth. In my lifetime, I've never seen the interest in our movement at a higher level, but web space and printed literature and postage are expensive. We need your help to teach and motivate and build the movement that can save our people and truly save the freedom of all people on earth. And we need you, each and every one of you who reads these lines, who hears these lines, to reach out to a fellow American and tell them the truth as well. The time is now. And that's the end of my writing from October of 2001, literally in the shadow of the attack on the World Trade Center. But I believe the predictions I made then have certainly come about, and facts in history have validated the suppositions and the hypothesis that I had at that time. Thanks so much for being with me. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddukes.com.